Welcome to Jewelry Artists, where we examine the art and business of making jewelry. Join me for intriguing conversations with jewelry artists who will inform and inspire you. I'm Katie Hacker, your host. My guest today is Kristen Baird. She's a graduate of the Savannah College of Art and Design, and she's also a recent winner of the Red Backpack Grant. We talk about promotional preparedness and heirloom jewelry. Join us. Hi, Kristen. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here. So excited to jump in.
Oh, I love that you're taking a minute out from your vacation and your busy jewelry life to talk with us, because I think anybody who is trying to make a living doing this can relate. It's like, you know, you just do what you have to do.
Exactly. It's a 24/7 thing, but that's the beauty of entrepreneurship and business ownership at the same time. So
right.
It's all good.
On the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
exactly.
After this, I hope you get to relax.
I will get lots of relaxing. So that sounds good.
Good. Well, let's start by talking about your Red Backpack Grant that you just received. And that's so exciting. Tell us a little bit about it and what you entailed.
Absolutely. So the Red Backpack Fund is a fund set up by Spanx, by Sarah Blakely. And she founded Spanx with her own Red Backpack that she took on all of her meetings and did all of her kind of foundational building of her brand, which is now a, you know,
multinational
millions and millions and millions and millions. Exactly. And she's a total boss lady. But she started it with a Red Backpack with $5,000, which back in the day. So she, when coronavirus hit, she came up with this idea to grant 1,000 $5,000 grants to female business owners specifically. Which is amazing.
That's incredible. I mean,
$5 million going straight from Spanx and her foundation to small business owners in this extremely stressful time. And
talk about giving back.
Right? I know. And she's like, was already a hero of mine just from seeing her business and how, like, seeing different appearances in podcasts that she's done and how she built her brand. And so to see this come about was completely like, awe-inspiring and very exciting for me. So
yeah, definitely. I love it when you can really, when it's a, it's not just an award, but it's something that you really connected to the business,
right?
And her
right.
as an entrepreneur, you know, boss lady.
Exactly. And it's pretty cool. They released it, and a friend of mine who's also a business owner who's in the salon space, she was like, Kristen, you've got to apply for this. Like, it just opened at 12 o'clock and it was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. She was like, the application just opened, so get your application in. And I did. I dropped everything and started on my application, which I kind of jumped in and just kept on going with it and got my application in that day. And it closed soon after because they only took, I think, 5,000 applications in the first round.
Oh my gosh.
And it happened so quickly. So fortunately, I got it in. And
I want to stop you right there because I think something I know about you is that you're very well prepared to take on something like that. You have a lot of photographs. You have all of your assets ready to go. So when an opportunity like that presents itself, you can roll.
Absolutely. But that's something I learned from the Halstead Grant, which is something that we have talked about previously. And it has been a huge part of my career as well. Just learning the grant writing and the kind of pitching of a business. And so I'm always ready, like, okay, what do they need? Photos, headshots, you know, documents, mission statement, kind of like how you give back or what your, you know, details are. And fortunately, it worked with this application. It was immediate jump in and get it done, which was
It's almost like publicity preparedness. You know, we talk about emergency preparedness. Now we're talking about marketing preparedness and how can you be ready when these things come up? Well, that's amazing. And so it took you a day. You filled out the application. Mm-hmm. And then how long did you have to wait?
It was a couple of weeks and I got an email. It was all done through Global Giving, which is like a, I guess you could call it like a giving back platform. So Sarah Blakely had given them the job of kind of assigning the funding based on who they selected, based on what she wanted, et cetera. So I got an email saying, okay, we need more information from you. You've made it to the second round. Congratulations. But now we need like financial documents and very specific things that prove, you know, that all these things you said previously on the application are in fact true and that, you know, also we want to just see a bit more information to kind of verify. And so that took a couple more days, but there was a whole week to get that done, fortunately, because that was more of the numbers and logistics type stuff.
Yeah, the nitty-gritty.
Yeah, the stuff that makes you make sure that you're legit. So I got that information back, and then it was a couple more weeks, and they released, I got an email that said, congratulations, you were selected in our first group of 200. So they did it in groups of like 200, and then I think they opened another round of 200 that they just awarded maybe in June, and then they reopened it back again a couple weeks ago for a round that I think that they will award in September. So, I got to be in the first round of 200, which is such a blessing.
Yeah, it's so,
it was pretty awesome. And with it, you know, part of it is that there was going to be a lot of promotion and publicity around it. And so I had a couple of days to get ready for that. And it was like all hands on deck, like, let's do this.
Right.
So let's try to get as much out there as possible to really capitalize on this opportunity, especially considering the circumstances of our kind of current world situation. Any little boost or kick in the pants or PR kind of circling around it is great and something that's very helpful.
Well, never, I mean, the cash prize is amazing. And then yes, the other promotions that they do on your behalf. And plus, then you get to say now that you won this really great award. So you're right.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it is exactly a lot of things kind of swirling around. It's exciting.
Yeah. So it's been really exciting. And about a month ago, I also got an email from Spanx saying, oh, we've seen so much publicity around you, you know, receiving the red backpack grant. And we want to feature you for a highlight, like a profile of your business on Spanx.
I saw that.
Social media. Yeah.
So I'm, cool.
I'm the second one that they featured from the Red Backpack Fund grant. So that was really exciting and a huge boost and kind of confidence boost. So.
Definitely. Well, especially right now when things are kind of, you know, wah-wah a little bit.
We'll take any kind of boost we can get these days. So it's been really exciting.
All right. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Did they, when they were looking at your work, I'm imagining that they were primarily looking at your business, the business of your work.
Correct.
Is that true?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so I know that you're a rock star at branding. Was that a big part of what they wanted to see?
I think they looked a lot at the numbers behind the business because they wanted to pick people who were financially stable, but that the $5,000 grant could really impact for the future. So, you know, we're all taking a hurting right now, let's say, lack of a better way to say it. But they wanted to really select people who, you know, were in a downtime, but can use that $5,000 to really push forward and kind of come out of this much stronger. So they looked a lot at everything from your expenses to kind of how you allocate funding and what you were going to use your grant for, which my grant, or my proposal, let's say, was I'm going to use this to really strengthen some internal processes because I was not prepared for all of my wholesale partners to be shut down at the same time. And I was not prepared for kind of like all the shows in the country to be shut down at the same time.
Well, how could you?
Right. So it kind of gave me this thought process of we need to be more prepared for whatever might come. You know, we've had the occasional hurricane where some of the East Coast partners are shut down, but not everybody at the same time. So I wanted to really strengthen that. I wanted to pivot and really move more online. And by doing that, I knew I needed to really strengthen my branding because I can sit and talk to a customer all day long in person and really sell my work. But when you take it online, you really need to be very specific about how you present everything so that people understand who they're buying from and what they're buying. And there's not, you know, there's so much competition in the online marketplace. So we really wanted to, I guess, hone in and make sure that the message was very clear. And that's what we're working on a lot now, which is great.
Yeah. And that takes time, you know, and it takes time away from the bench.
Right.
So you have folks who are helping you with that, I assume.
Yes. So I'm working with a graphic designer. Thanks to this grant, we're able to do that. I'm working with graphic designer, I'm working with a video team, so we're trying to get some video content because that is such a relevant thing right now when everybody's on their phones and computers sitting at home. Yeah. And that will be, you know, content that will be evergreen. Like, it will last for a very long time, which is great. And then I'm also working with a content creator, kind of copywriting and really getting the message and the story together. So I'm working with those three, and then a virtual assistant who is helping kind of implement things. So we've got a lot of infrastructure and a lot of like pre-planning, background planning going on right now, which is exciting and a little nerve-wracking, but also very exciting.
Yeah, well, I can see how it would be both, definitely. How long have you had this many people as your team?
I've had the virtual assistant for 2 or 3 years now, and then the video team, I'm bringing them in short-term, just kind of project-based.
Just to help out. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And then the graphic designer, same, bringing her in. I brought her in this summer. And then the content creator and copywriter, she also does a lot of PR work for me. And I brought her in as soon as I found out that I got the red backpack. So it was an immediate like, okay, I've got to find somebody. Found somebody. She's fantastic. Let's do this.
Oh, good. Oh, that's great.
So, you know, so there's some, what could you say? Like, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, or like a, you know, making lemonade out of lemons kind of thing. Like, we're, you know, there's some tough times, but we're actually seeing some really positive things as well, which is good.
That is really good. And it seems like you're going to be well positioned to enter a period of growth now.
Yes. You know? That's what we're working on very, very hard, which is, you know, there's a lot of trust and like trusting that it's all going to come together, but I do believe it will. And, you know,
well I know you have a great foundation. Yeah. I mean, you haven't been doing this that long.
Right. It's all new. It's all new, but it's you know, it's a way of life. Like, I mean, entrepreneurship and being in business, it's a way of life. And, we're all on board. My husband is on board. Like, we're all working hard to make all this go really well.
It's a family affair.
It is a true family business. Like,
yeah,
you know, it is. And that's a really beautiful thing at the same time. So,
yeah, yes. I know what you mean. Well, getting back to your website, before we move on to my next question, I wanted to ask you about just some tips for people who are looking at their websites and what they might need to be thinking about. You mentioned video. I think that's great advice. Mm-hmm. Also, you tell a really great story about your jewelry on your website. So I think that is something that people connect to and that makes you stand out.
Yes. And
what other aspects would you encourage people to revisit right now while they kind of have some time to, you know, focus on, like you say, the infrastructure of the business rather than the making? Because maybe the making isn't really selling right now.
Exactly. And that is kind of what we're doing, looking at photography. So now's the time to get photos of pieces and make sure, you know, that they're beautifully done, beautifully edited, ready to put on the website, that you have really good specifications or measurements or, you know, content around those pieces, because what we would typically maybe sell in person or at a show where you could talk about all these details, now we're needing to sell it online and people need to be able to connect with it. So thinking about the stories behind the work or how to explain, you know, this detail or that detail or the material or the inspiration or, you know, things like that is super important. And, something to focus on. So photography, content around that. Maybe like you said, video.
Yeah. Maybe even like instead of, you know, white gold sapphire ring size 9.
Right.
How to really draw out the details and use a lot of reticulation in your work. So then maybe explaining what reticulation is and going into you know, what people can expect from your pieces.
Exactly. And a lot of that is like, this is how you clean the work. This is how you maintain the work, or, you know, I'm doing a lot of blog content and I would definitely recommend that for, folks as well. Create a lot of blog content because people are on Google right now and they're typing in keywords.
It's great for SEO.
And they're getting SEO. I mean, like the more you can cater to that, is the more you can be seen, the more you can get your work in front of people. So, you know, I'm doing some blog content around different birthstones, which then leads people to different pieces, which then there's more copy about the pieces. So it's all in kind of just whatever you, however you would present yourself in person, think about how that needs to translate to presenting online. And if somebody sees it at 10 o'clock at night on, you know, a different time zone, or, you know, they see it, you know, while they're on their phone, sitting in their, you know, house, homeschooling their kid, like whatever it is, like just right. Think about how that's presented. And it's all on presentation, really. So that's my two cents on it. And of course, I'm always learning. So, you know.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's so much, you know, and I think it can be overwhelming for people. But you're right. We do have a great opportunity right now to go and shore that up. You know, exactly. Ahead of holiday time, take some time to fill in your descriptions even, or make it a goal to improve your photography or whatever it is, you know, just choose one thing and really, really make it good.
Exactly. And the idea of choosing one thing and doing that is a very good idea, because it can be very overwhelming and like, I need to fix everything right now. And it's like, no, pick one thing, start with that, then pick the next thing. So just take one little thing at a time is my tip. Right.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. One step at a time. That's a good one for life. Exactly. Well, and it's also, you know, that brings us to one of the things that you're doing is repurposing heirlooms.
Yes.
And this isn't something for everyone, but I think that it is fascinating. And I'd love to hear more about what you're doing with repurposing heirlooms. And I'm sure it's the same kind of approach as like, okay, I have this old piece. Sorry, vintage piece.
Yes.
And how can I do one thing to change it and then maybe take it the next step?
Right. And that actually, last year, I updated my heirloom redesign process to be a little bit more digital. So having an intake form so that people can fill that out online, or, you know, starting to transition to doing maybe some more Skype calls or things like that. And here we are, where everybody's at home and they're going through all their things and organizing and stress cleaning and like Marie Kondo. Right. Like,
does this spark joy? Should I keep it?
So there's been so much of that. And then people are also at the same time looking at, you know, who are the local artists? Where are the small businesses? Who can I work with to redo something or recycle, repurpose? And that's where I've really found a little kind of niche, which is awesome. And sometimes you just have to cater to that. And that's what I'm doing. I'm using technology. This is a tip right here. Loom, L-O-O-M, is one of my favorite platforms right now. It's a video screen recording platform. And I use that in my heirloom redesign and custom work process, because I'm not doing in-person meetings necessarily. So I'm actually doing sketches and things. I put them on my screen. And then I do the screen record and I send it to the client, so I can talk about the designs at my convenience. I can, you know, share all the little details and this is what I'm thinking. And then I can send them the link and they can open it at their convenience and they can watch it 10 times. It's so good. It's so good. They can watch it over and over again. They can send the link to friends, or like one of my clients sent it to her mom because her mom was in a different state, but she wanted her mom to be involved in the process because it was a redesign of family pieces. So it's kind of cool. It creates a sense of like community or like a teamwork project atmosphere, and it's really fun. So highly recommend.
Yeah, that's I love the way that you use technology to increase your ability to make what people want.
Yes. You know? It's super important. And it also provides a really nice, a really nice backup or kind of paper trail, so that if there is any question, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I told them that I would do this or that, and I can go back and refer to these videos, and there's just less guessing work or less area for things to fall through the cracks. Or so it's just a really good way, where traditionally we would be in person doing these things and I'd be taking, you know, handwritten notes, but now it's virtual or digital, and it's just a different way to look at it. And it's been super successful. So highly recommend Loom. Check it
out. That's cool. Well, I love you. The Loom spokesperson now, by the way.
I know. I like it.
Maybe that'll be your next grant.
There you go. See?
Yeah. Well, but what about the challenges of working with heirlooms? Because that makes me nervous just thinking about it. But I love the idea. So how do you kind of get people... By the time people come to you, have they kind of crossed that bridge already? They're ready to move into something else?
Yes. We do a lot of like I do the designing first before I even touch any of the pieces or before I break anything down. And there's a lot of like, then I take people get the pieces to me, and then I, you know, do some more designing and finalizing of designing. And then I take really close looks at everything, like under the microscope, really zoomed in to make sure, okay, is the stone really stable? And before I do anything and take anything apart, I want to make sure that the materials are going to work well in the design and that everything's going to, you know, come out really well. I once set a like 4-carat emerald, which about gave me, it was an emerald cut emerald, which about gave me a heart attack. And I was like, I might not need to do that again. It's like those corners had me like sweating really bad.
But, I bet.
You know, it's all in figuring out, okay, here's the materials we have. Here's what the client wants. Let's talk it over. Let's have really clear communication. Then let's sign off on everything. Then let's look at all the pieces and start taking them apart very carefully. So there's a lot of checks and balances to make sure that we don't get so far in the process and then something goes sideways, which I think is the most important thing, is to just have very clear communication. And, you know, as the jeweler, it's like, have a game plan and double check the game plan and triple check it and then quadruple check it. But it's a great way to kind of breathe life into something new. So it's definitely a fun, but also very intense process. But it's also
it would be
really
fun. Oh, well, the fun must outweigh the intense part.
It does. It does
on most projects anyway, or yes. Else you wouldn't do it.
Exactly. No, it's one of the most thrilling things, because you get to, well, either see or witness, or, you know, get an email back of like, I opened the piece and it made, you know, like my mom started crying and then I started crying and like everything is so beautiful and like I wear it every day. And so it's just a new way to look at things and be a part of somebody's life in a different way and celebrate with them. And sometimes it's, you know, there's some sad things like, oh, somebody passed away and that's why you have these pieces, but it's also joyful in a different way. So
yeah, what a gift to get to work through that with them.
Exactly.
To create a piece that they love.
Exactly. So it's a good thing.
That is. Yeah. I can see why you like it. And I can see how, you know, the challenges are worth it.
Yes.
I'm also seeing a theme here in this conversation about your planning skills. I mean, you were prepared. I mean, I don't know. You were prepared for that grant. You know, you could really turn it around fast. You really plan out these heirloom projects. I mean, this is definitely a theme.
It's an acquired thing, let's say that. Because at first, you know, I went to art school and it was like, I'm going to be an artist, like creative and super fun, blah, blah, blah. And then it was like, oh, I'm going to be a business owner. I've got to like tighten this up real fast. Mm-hmm. There's always a few lessons where you get burned and then you're like, oh, okay, so we're going to change that. But that's just the learning curve and the learning process. So it's part of being in business and part of growing and part of kind of honing in on what really works and what really does not work.
So. Yeah. Well, I think you have to be really honest with yourself too, yes, about your strengths, and find people to help you do the things that you don't have time for or that aren't necessarily in your wheelhouse, you know, like you are.
And yes.
So I'd imagine that a lot of people use heirloom pieces as wedding rings.
Yes, they do. And even more so now, I'm actually seeing a lot of trends of using like grandmother's diamond or even grandmother's sapphire or cousin so-and-so or aunt whatnot. Because a lot of people are kind of really reattaching to the sentimental aspects of jewelry. And have been for the past probably about year, but even more so now, which is really fun because rose gold has been pretty cool, but yellow gold I'm seeing coming right on back in, which is really fun to work with. I love working with 18 karat yellow gold. It's like butter and so beautiful and smooth.
I never have, but everyone says it's so wonderful.
I love it. Oh gosh, it's so great. Like white gold, nope. Yellow gold, 18 karat is my jam. So that's a really fun thing that I see coming back in right now. And of course, repurposing different stones or diamonds. One part of my redesign process, which is kind of cool, is I can use tons of little teeny diamonds to kind of work into my signature, like ripply patterned pieces. And like accents and, you know, I set them in little teeny kind of bezels and things. Or
That's a good like point. It doesn't always bezel. Have to be the focal. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're able to use a lot of little stones and really make them look like sparkle glitter kind of thing, and use them in a way where sometimes people are like, oh, just these are like useless. And I'm like, no, they're not useless. They're actually fantastic. So, you know, we're able to use a lot of other materials in different ways. And I'm doing a lot of stacking pieces. So stacking rings, even as engagement or bridal pieces, which is awesome.
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of the brides and grooms that I'm working with right now are really looking at like eco-conscious or repurposing or things that are very versatile for active lifestyles. So it's not necessarily, and nothing is wrong with this, but it's not necessarily, you know, I want a huge diamond on a little teeny, like, you know, setting with a ton of halos around it. It's not necessarily that, or at least what I'm seeing, I guess, because people come to me because I do these like funky, cool, like really unique kind of organic pieces, organic flow. So I'm seeing people who are open to using color. Like I'm actually working on one right now that's a 18 karat rose with a family diamond and then accented by Pariba tourmalines that are like this beautiful color of blue.
Oh, so wow.
Incorporating like blues and greens or, you know, some pinks, like some pink sapphires into some pieces. So it's kind of cool. And I like these brides that are like funky and want something different and are okay with not necessarily like traditional pieces or traditional formats or whatever. So
I feel like those unconventional elements are sneaking into even mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see that. I see that.
So I'm
a
not
bit
surprised.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun. And it's also the artisan element is, I feel like being celebrated a little bit more right now it's fun.
So. Right. Do you have a special name for these kinds of wedding rings? I mean, I guess you could call them heirloom. I don't know. Heirloom redo doesn't sound exactly right.
Yeah. It's kind of it's alternative bridal. So it's this like people who
that's
want
the
to
official
different.
Category.
That's like the category. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I feel like that's kind of an industry category. Like even within the jewelry industry, you hear alt bridal a lot, but it's kind of that. It's kind of artisan bridal, maybe you could say, or like,
I like that. Yeah.
You know, cause you know, it's really cool to use grandma's diamonds, but it's not necessarily like, oh, I got this secondhand. You know what I mean? It's more so like celebrating the stories or the memories, and then celebrating the fact that an artist is creating this for them specifically. And, you know, playing up the really positive aspects, I guess you could say. Not that there's really any negative aspects, but
right,
celebrating
but
certain
things. Right, right. Well, maybe in the past we would have called it a custom.
Yes.
Bridal,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
But that doesn't quite capture it. So I like the artisan name, maybe heirloom. I don't know.
Artisan heirloom bridal design.
Because living like in the acronym land now.
Yeah, exactly. The AA, whatever it is.
Whatever. Let me write that down.
But it is. You're right, though. It's not necessarily custom, because custom could be, I saw something on Pinterest and I want you to make it for me. You know, it's more like, I have these things and you're an artist and I want to commission you to create this thing for
commission.
So it's a commission. And actually that is what I call it on my website. I call it a commissioning process instead of a custom process. Because it really is an active, especially with my brides and grooms, like we're communicating a lot and they're involved in the process, or sometimes it's just the groom because the bride doesn't know, but you know, it's an active process. And I guess that's part of the really fun part of it, is that as the designer, I get to work with a really cool client. And then as a client, you get to work straight with the designer on this piece. So it's kind
maybe
of
you should call it ring therapy.
And there is a lot of that goes on. I hear a lot of stories. I hear all the stories, which is kind of funny. So,
yeah,
you know.
My husband and I had our wedding rings made a long time ago. And the artist that we worked with, you know, I'm sure by the end of the process, she was just like, okay, already. You guys said this is what you want. Go with this. It's awesome. They're beautiful. See you later.
But it's jewelry is such an emotional thing, though. And I think that that's what makes it so special at the same time. So it's like an emotional, like sentimental, like involved thing. So
you're right.
You know,
yeah, it's true.
I could go on and on about that.
And that's why we're here.
Exactly. We're here talking about it. And that's the difference in maybe say like a painting versus a piece of jewelry that somebody's going to wear on their finger or on their neck or on their ears. Like it's so, it can be so much more. Let's say it can go so deep, which is cool and fun.
I think so too.
Yeah,
it is. It is. Well, I appreciate that you are aware of the emotional aspects and you work it in. I mean, that's why you're choosing to do what you do. Mm-hmm. And another thing about you that got me in the feels when I read it was that you are working to purchase a service dog with part of the money from your business.
Yes. So from almost the very beginning, I really wanted to use my business as a way, you know, it's a way to pay for things and it's a way to make a living, but it's so much more. It can be so much more. And I wanted to be able to use my platform and my revenue to give back. And I have been working with SD Gunner Fund, and they are an organization here in Savannah that basically provides service animals through the cost of training, through the maintenance, I say maintenance very loosely, but through the upkeep and the care and the veterinary care and everything, provides these service animals for disabled veterans and special needs children and basically people who need these dogs to really make their quality of life so much better. And 2 years ago, we partially funded a dog named Tango. Or no, last year was Tango. 2 years ago was a different dog. Last year was Tango, who was a black poodle for a girl who needed him for some specific assignments. And this year we're working on it again, which is exciting. SD Gunner Fund has now, I think they've done more than 60 dogs in our community, which is awesome. And we're working on one again this year. And it's just such a, I guess, really rewarding feeling to know. I mean, I love dogs, first off.
Yeah.
I love animals. But to know that these dogs, I mean, it's their job and that these dogs make such a difference in the lives of their owners and their owner's family. It's a really beautiful thing. So we're doing that again. And I guess by the end of the year, we'll see what it's looking like and who the dog is going to be. I know that Brittany, who's the founder of SD Gunner Fund, she has like 15 dogs in training right now, which is awesome.
Wow, that's a lot.
They do so much. And yeah, she... 15 puppies in training is a lot.
I can't imagine.
but Brittany handles it so well, and her story is amazing. I would definitely urge you guys to check it out. It's SD Gunner Fund. And again, they're just an asset and a beautiful thing for our community, or Southeast, really. They do a lot in the Southeast in general. But Brittany, her husband is a retired or a former military veteran, and she has her own kind of process of how she got into this, but it's really neat. And I'm so grateful to be involved with them. Yeah. I'm so grateful to be involved with them and constantly kind of thinking of ways to kind of jump in even further. So,
well, I know it brings a depth to your work, you know, and I think it does for a lot of us who have a favorite charitable organization or several, you know, it brings more meaning to what we're doing for sure.
Exactly.
It makes the challenge is worth it sometimes.
Right, right. And there's just another level to everything, which is nice. So sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
Oh, that's okay.
I get so excited about it.
No, that's fine. I was just going to say people can check it out at kristenbaird.com, which is your website. Mm-hmm. And it's Baird, B-A-I-R-D.
Perfect.
And Kristen, I always ask people who visit us here on the podcast to share with us their favorite stone. So do you have a favorite?
I do. So I love spinels. My engagement ring is a color change spinel, and it kind of shifts from purple to like tealy blue in different lighting, which is really cool. And I found that stone in 2014, I think it was, 2013, 14. And I found out about spinels, and I'd heard of black spinel, but I hadn't heard of like the color change types. And I found it, and I said, someday if I get married, this is going to be in my ring. So I'm going to go ahead and buy it. And I did. And then someday I did get married, and my husband proposed to me, or fiance or whatever, boyfriend at the time, proposed to me and said, well, so you're a jewelry designer. So
You're making your own ring.
Yeah, he was like, you can make whatever you want. And I was like, great, because I already bought the stone. I was like, I wanted this oval color change spinel, and I already bought it. So it worked out great.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That's a great start for your life together, that he was just like, oh, I'm so glad you thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. He was just like, yeah, here's your budget, and go do what you want.
That's really sweet.
So spinels are my favorite. I think they're so interesting, and there's just a variety of colors, which color, I love color. I don't have a diamond at the center of my ring. I have a color change spinel, and it's accented by diamonds, and you know, there you go. Something a little
sounds
different.
Good to me.
Yeah.
Do all spinel have little strands through them, or is it a clear? And when you say color change, do you mean from one side to the other?
No. So it's like a color change. Like it's a solid color, but then in different lighting, it changes. Almost like Alexandrite, maybe. Like kind of, they can shift a little bit, or like a something along those lines. But it just, under like fluorescent light, it's a little different than under incandescent versus like outside, or, you know, kind of daylight versus man-made or manufactured light, I guess you could say. But so it's a consistent color, and it's clear, not clear, but you know,
transparent.
Yeah. What's that technical word? Oh gosh. So it's transparent, but yeah, it changes color under different lighting, which is really cool. So, and not manufactured, so that way, like it comes out of the earth like that. Which is even
so amazing.
More fun. I'm a stone nerd and a tool nerd, so it plays into that.
Well, I've loved having you here today. Thank you so much for chatting with us, Kristen.
Thank you for having me on. This was a blast, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and chat about all the fun stuff.
Sure thing. If you enjoyed this conversation, please leave a review on Apple iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for listening. To see pictures, please check out our show notes, interweave.com/jewelry-artist-podcast. Jewelry Artist is hosted and produced by me, Katie Hacker. We had help from Tamara Hahnemann and Merle White, with special thanks to the team at Lapidary Journal Jewelry Artist Magazine. Jewelry Artist is an Interweave podcast and produced by Golden Peak Media. Our podcast producer is Matthew Talisfor. Tammy Jones is our web editor, and Jesse Rodriguez does our marketing. Our executive producer of podcasts is Jared Mayer.